Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and everybody else that's joining in with us today. I pray that you're born again today, and that if you're not, the Lord said that if thou shalt call upon the name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll call upon his name to save you and believe what he did. He was crucified, buried, and risen again, and the Savior of all men. If you'll believe and trust in him, the Bible says that the Lord will save you. And that's eternal salvation. That's not temporary. You can't do anything to get it, and you can't do anything to get rid of it. So today we're going to go back into our study of the letter X. Don't know whether we're going to finish it or not. This is I don't want to say longer. It just depends on how it goes. But what the topic that we're going to go over today for X-rated for Christians. I hope that you've been going over those scriptures that I been given to you. By the way, I did forget. I apologize for not giving you the scriptures last time. And since we're thinking about that, let me go ahead and give them to you. Are you ready? You probably already got them. But why Christians don't dance is what we talked about last time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Psalm chapter 101, verse 3. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 through 29. And then we had, Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 12. We had 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 through 23. And Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 through 21. You remember that was Moses' song where Miriam and all the ladies danced in front of the Lord, or danced unto the Lord. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And those were the scriptures that we used last recording. Our last lesson having to do with why Christians don't dance. Today we're going to get in. Let's recap just a little bit. When we started this study, we began talking about separation, our other two studies that we have in the ABCs of Christian Growth. If you stay with it, you'll go through that. The study of separation that God, there's two different kinds of separation. Positional separation, which is the position that you're in Christ, your eternal state. And then there's practical separation. Practical separation is you being in the body and having to practice holiness and practice being Christ-like and being conformed into the image of Christ while you're still in the body. Practical separation. And things that we have to physically separate ourselves from and mentally separate ourselves from while we're still in the body. Positional separation, you're in the body right now, but as soon as, if the Lord doesn't come, if he comes and raptures us, you're going to be with him, including a changed body, a brand new body that you're going to get. If you don't, your body's going to go back to the dirt, like God said, and you're going to go to be with the Lord until he does come, and you'll get your body then. We talked about victory. And does the child of God have victory? Absolutely we do. The world seeks to steal your love from Christ, remember? That's what they want to do. The world, the flesh, and the devil want to steal your love and your devotion to Christ. And we're to place our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And there is another study that we do in the letter Y that will be coming up. As a matter of fact, if there's not another W stuck in here, or X, let's see, X, Y, Z, yeah. The Y will be yearning, and that will be talking a lot about what the Bible has to do with affections and what the Bible says about our affections. But our affections are to be on things above, not on things of this earth. Things that are the most, that you have in your treasure chest. The things that are most valuable to you are to be on things above, the Bible says. Then we talked about why Christians don't drink alcohol. And we went over what the Bible has to say about that. It does not say, thou shalt not drink alcohol. But it does give us a lot of evidence of how that stuff is bad for the Christian walk. And if you're drinking and you're going to continue to drink, that's on you. But not me, brother. I know what that does to my flesh, and I know what my flesh does to me, and I'm not going through that battle again. And plus, why would I give up something good as serving the Lord and being in His good graces and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight and take a chance on just taking a drink and a bunch of wickedness and the things that go along with that drink come into my life? Not me, brother. Not me. And I'm sure it's not you either. But if you're looking to try to get away from the drink, that's what you need to keep doing. You need to find you some Christians and find you a pastor, if you don't have one already, and get some people praying with you and working with you and talking with the Lord about this thing, and get this thing taken care of. The Lord will pay attention whenever two or three He'll pay attention to you when you're asking Him, but you get two or three people concerned about this problem and helping you out and praying getting a hold of the Lord about it and talking with the Lord about it, the Lord can help you dismiss this thing, this problem in your life. He can, and He will. He did it for me, and He'll do it for you. All you have to do is be sincere about what you talk about with the Lord, and then when the Lord gives you opportunity, you take it and run with it, and don't look back. And don't look back. Why Christians don't gamble, we talked about. We talked about quite a few things about what the Lord says about in the Scriptures. It does not say thou shalt not gamble, but it gives us all kinds of evidence of why it would not be wise for a Christian to gamble. It's insensitive to the will of God. It makes you insensitive to the will of God. It makes you run after stuff that doesn't belong to you. And you're actually seeking stuff that you don't have to work for. And gambling is superstitious. It's having a lucky rabbit foot and things like that. And it's selfish. It's selfish. It's wanting something that you haven't worked for and you haven't earned. And there are such things as gifts, but gambling's not one of them. Now, if the Lord decides to make you a millionaire, that's the Lord's business, and He knows your heart, and He knows you'll do the right thing. But standing there throwing some dice and saying, bones, bones, daddy needs a new pair of shoes, and throwing dice and screaming and hollering and hoping that you hit, being rejoicing jumping for joy over those little ivory gods that you're throwing across that table, that's not supposed to be what gives you joy. And the Bible says that God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, and that God is able to give you much more than this, the Scripture says. Then we talked about why Christians don't smoke, and find any place in the Scripture where it says, thou shalt not smoke. But we did find a bunch of reasons about why a Christian should shy away from smoking cigarettes and any kind of tobacco use and stuff like that. Because it controls you. It controls you. And Paul said that we're not to be brought under the power of anything other than God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. That is what's supposed to control us. That is our final authority. That is what's supposed to control us, and for physical reasons. It's very important that you keep the temple of God as best as you possibly can. There's some things that are out of your control, the things they're putting in our foods now, and you can do the very best that you can, but you don't know what's going on in all this food industry and all this stuff and why people's health is going to pot and everything else, and these doctors are becoming gods and telling people what to do with their bodies and blah, 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 blah. food and everything, all the nutrition is greed and sin, and the love of money has ruined all that also. But you're supposed to keep your body knowing that God the Holy Ghost dwells within you, that you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. You're supposed to do the very best that you can to keep that in good condition for Him and clean. Now, you're clean through the Word, which I've spoken unto you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And we talked about it being for emotional reasons, remember? That doesn't control you. It doesn't control you. There's so many things in this world that want to control your thinking. Listen, brothers. Listen, sister. If you don't control your thinking or allow God the Holy Ghost to control your thinking, somebody else will. Yeah. If you're not controlling your thinking and what's going in your mind and in your thinking, and in your eyeballs, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You're thinking. And if there's something controlling you and controlling your thinking, you wake up in the morning and that cigarette pack calls you and it gets authority over everything else, then it's controlling you. And the Lord says that we are to be on guard about that. So we talked about that. That wasn't something that the Christian should indulge in. And if you're having problems with that, then you should do just like we talked about the drink. Get you some Christian friends and some brothers and sisters. Sit down and talk with them serious about it, but be serious about it. Be sincere. And the Bible says, those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You get with some people that you trust, and you see their walk, and just like they picked out the seven deacons in the church, they said that they were spiritual. Some of the things that were evident about them was that they were spiritual. They had a good walk before all the people, before they even considered or talked about having deacons. They were respected as sincere Christians. I find you some sincere Christians that you've seen walk the walk and mean business before the Lord and are willing to pray, and you trust them that they will be serious about praying for you and helping you with this thing, and get with them and pray. And ask the Lord to remove that from you. And the Lord said that no good thing will He withhold from them that love Him and walk uprightly. So if you want to get rid of that smoking, the Lord can help you. He can take it away from you immediately, or He can help you use something else to get the desire of it out of you and to get it away from you. Because remember, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil wants to kill you any way that he possibly can. You say no. Yeah. 1 Peter 5:8. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He don't want to come over and give you trouble. He wants to come and kill you and do whatever it takes to kill you. And smoking can. So enough of that. We talked about why Christians don't dance, why they don't dance. And we went through the scriptures and found out what the scriptures had to say concerning dancing. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not dance. Why would it say that and then turn around and Miriam and King David and all the ladies that danced with Miriam, the prophetess, and danced before the Lord? Why would it say thou shalt not dance when there is a dance that is pleasing before the Lord? It doesn't say that. But it does say there's a certain kind of dancing that's wicked, that has some very, very bad things that come along with it. And it leads to wickedness and leads to more sin. And the Bible says that we should stay away from it. Stay away from it and have nothing to do with it, because it's all flesh. It's fleshy. The Lord said, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's what we don't want to do, is fulfill things that the flesh lusts after. And that brings us into today. And our topic for today is why Christians don't listen to rock and roll music. Now, I'm guilty of that. I don't listen to it anymore. I despise it. I don't even like hearing it on anybody else's radio or hear it pass me in a car, because my flesh brings up old songs and it takes me all day long to get them out of my mind. And I don't want to think about that stuff anymore. I don't want it in my mind, and it's a battle. And your flesh, even though, I mean, you put God's word in, you put God's music in you, and it pushes all that stuff down, and the flesh can't bring it up anymore until you listen to it or hear it or see it or participate in it. And it'll remind you. And that's why we train our thinking and train our minds and cast down imaginations, every imagination, the Bible says. And that's rock and roll music. The music, and don't say, I don't know who's stupid enough to say that music is not something that controls you. It sure is. I carried around so many different kinds of music. Whatever I wanted to be, if I wanted to be happy, I'd play happy music. If I wanted to be mad, I'd play mad music. If I wanted to be headbanging, I'd play headbanging music. If I wanted to be country, I'd play country music. Don't tell me. I know. And so do you. But particularly when we're going to talk about this rock and roll music, many Christians believe the issue of music is simply a matter of personal taste. Well, what you like in rock and roll music and what you don't like in rock and roll music does not take away the fact of how it affects you spiritually. We're not talking about the world or talking to the world now. We're talking to Christians and talking about the Christian walk and what's X-rated for Christians. Why is rock and roll bad for the Christian? Why Christians don't or do not listen to rock and roll music? Well, they say it's a matter of personal taste, and some listen to classical music, others jazz music, many country and western music, and others listen to rap, easy listening, acid rock, head banging music, hip hop, blues music, funk music, soul music, and some rock and roll. Just like we talked about there being all kinds of dances, and I read that list out to you. Some of it was just plain silly, but nevertheless, fleshy. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of dance. There's millions and millions and millions of different kinds of music. All kinds of music. And all of it designed to affect you in a certain way. Classical music does not affect you like rock and roll music does. Blues does not affect you like country and western does. They're all different. You can't deny that. Personal taste is not the proper Bible answer when it comes to what God thinks is proper for His children. Do you trust yourself to pick proper things? If we get the choice, we don't pick proper stuff, do we? Paul said he didn't. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. The constant battle fighting against this stinking flesh. This flesh is always wanting to bring up the rock and roll and bring up this and bring up that. And that's not what I want. And I'm always having to fight. Paul said it himself. You're not no more spiritual than Paul was, nor am I. And music affects us all that way. And if you want to deny it and you want to make excuse to where you listen to your music and just go ahead and flesh up your music, go ahead. That's your business. But you're doing it before the Lord, and we're talking about what the Scriptures say, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and what the Bible says concerning music. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not listen to rock and roll music. It don't say it. Nowhere. Nowhere. Excuse me. Music is and always will be a critical area in a Christian's life. That should be guarded with the utmost sobriety and vigilance. The Bible tells us to be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I got a couple good books I'll recommend to you. The Pied Piper of Rock and Roll by Dennis Corll. He's got two of them out. Very good books that talk about rock and roll music. Talks about all different kinds of music. But very good books. The Pied Piper of Rock and Roll. There's been many Christian lives destroyed and made useless for the Lord because of music. Right? Do you know anybody that has fallen because of music? Or that's not serving the Lord because of the music that they listen to? You say, well, brother, there's Christian rock. Is there really? Really, really? I got some pictures. But you reckon when Moses come down off of there that Joshua said, wait a minute, Moses, now wait a minute. That sounded like war, but when we rounded the corner, we see that it's a party going on. And that's Christian music they're playing down there. You reckon? No, that ain't what went on. There's much more that meets the ear, as any careful study of the subject's going to reveal. Now, rock and roll especially is downright dangerous music, as are all music forms that are anti-biblical, anti-truth, anti-edifying, and anti-spiritual. You might as well just nip it in the bud. It's either fleshy or it's spiritual music. One or the other. It either affects the flesh and appeals to the flesh and the flesh reacts to it, or either the spirit reacts to it. One or the other. Both of them cannot be the same. The spirit warreth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, and these are contrary one to another, the Bible says. They cannot get along. It's not that they will not, it's that they cannot. It is that they will not, but it's that they cannot. They cannot. They're opposites. Now, it's anti-spiritual and anti-edifying. While this is part of our study, we're going to speak a lot concerning rock and roll. The idea is for us to see the importance and the reason for the right music to be in the Christian's mind. The purpose of this study, why Christians don't listen to rock and roll, is to find out what God's Word says and why it's important for us to be sure that we're getting the right music in our thinking. Because in our thinking is what goes into our heart. And our heart is desperately wicked. And it says for us, the Bible says for us to keep it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And the Christian, not only should Christians avoid listening to rock and roll, but young people, especially teens. Teens are right at the point to where they're leaving adolescence and they're leaving the childlike things, and they're starting to find out what their mind's starting to be formed about what grown-up things are about and what mature things are about and the difference between right and wrong. And they're very susceptible to anything. And especially young folks, but to be protected from its influence. You let your children just listen to anything they want to? Now, I know the world's getting to where they're going to command you and take your children and let them listen to anything, but that's what you see the difference in that. That's because they want to ruin them and make them worldly and make them robots to where they'll listen and obey. That's where the world's going. But if you want to protect your child for the truth and for sincerity and for purity and what's pleasing before the Lord, you're going to have to be involved in your children's music. And rock and roll will destroy your children. You're going to see some. I got some things that even the, I don't call them artists, idiots, that play that stuff. I used to worship that garbage. And had more respect for Ozzy Osbourne than I did for one of the a preacher preaching the Word of God. Not now, but used to. They are gods, and they do preach. They preach the wrong stuff to destroy your children and to destroy you. And you know who their God is. The Pied Piper, the prince of the power of the air. There's many things involved in music other than melody, harmony, and rhythm, such as Satan, power, drugs, sexual perversion, violence, communism, false religions, blasphemy, the occult, and even subliminal messaging and nihilism. You can see it in society just as plain as day now, every bit of it. Every single bit of it. And a lot of it has to do with music. When you're walking down through the, when you walk in to the store and you see you ride down to Walmart, if you go down to Walmart, next time you go down to Walmart, just walk around and count how many people you see walking around with earphones on, listening to music or something like that, and how music is part of their daily routine, and how it's a god. I mean, it's just like, it's no different, probably worse than cigarettes and booze and all that stuff. Music is a god, is a power. Let's get on into this. That's the introduction to it. Why Christians do not listen to rock and roll music. Well, the first thing is because God's standards for music. God did not say his standards for music was rock and roll, jazz, the blues, and all of that. God listed his standards for music, scripturally written for us to read. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves. So you can talk to yourself, and you're commanded to talk to yourself. So tell everybody, hit the road. It says you're crazy for talking to yourself, because everybody does. But the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, there's one, and hymns, there's two, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Remember we talked about dancing? And one of the three words that was used on every one of those where the dancing was good was to the Lord or before the Lord. Remember? Well, listen to this. This has to do with music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever heard anybody listening to Ozzy Osbourne give thanks? What about Kiss? Moving along, God says there's three different kinds of music that the Lord approves of, that he wrote in his word concerning music, and tells us on purpose to listen to this music and to sing it and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And then this music will cause us to give thanks always for all things unto God. So a certain type of music affects your certain type of attitude in your heart. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, helps us to give thanks always and all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rock and roll and the things that have to do with the music of this world do not cause you to give thanks and do not cause you to be thankful to the Lord for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is mentioned in a lot of the worldly music, but not the way that we mention him. The Psalms. Let's look at that. The Psalms. Speaking to yourselves in Psalms. Well, Psalms are scriptures set to music, just like we did in Exodus. We've seen in Exodus chapter 15 where Moses, when they come to the Red Sea, and he began to glorify God and started singing and made a song and wrote it down in the scriptures. It's Psalms set to scripture. He was singing praising the Lord and giving the Lord adoration and Miriam and all the women. And then the book of Psalms itself, that's what Psalms mean, is songs. They're songs in set to scriptures set to music. You sing them. That's one kind of music. Another kind of music called hymns. Hymns. These are songs that are put together by Christians and artists that love the Lord and are Christians, and they produce songs that are based on Scripture. And then there's spiritual songs. And a lot of people in the devil's threw a lot of controversy in Christendom about what is a spiritual song. Well, what is a spiritual song? Well, the things that maybe the things that affect you spiritually, that affect the spirit in a good way. You see, people that are not interested in what God thinks and what the Bible says concerning music don't care whether the music does you good or not. As a matter of fact, would rather have it speak rebellion to you. And music does speak rebellion to you. Music can make you hate God and is written for that purpose. You're going to see that through this study. And I'll testify to that right now. But spiritual songs are Christ-exalting music, which speaks to the spiritual man, not the old nature, not the flesh. Spiritual music ought to move the heart, not the feet, not the hips. Colossians chapter 3:16, now we're talking about that as God's standard. Now God did give us a standard right there, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, the Lord loves singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I mean, get involved in this music. The Lord's encouraging us right there. Sing and make melody. 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 Remember that. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Does AC/DC's Hell's Bells put grace in your heart? It says singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that silly? It sings to a God, but it don't sing grace And they sure don't sing spiritual hymns and or psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They're wicked. This kind of music, as we talked about dancing, there being a dancing that's before the Lord and a dancing that completely gives different results for the Christian, so music. There is music that draws you near to the Lord, that helps you to grow in your spiritual walk and grow as a spiritual person and a spiritual being. And then there's music that robs from that and drags you all the way into the flesh and makes you very, very worldly and fleshy and wicked. The Lord said two different places right there that He approves of music and gave us three different kinds of music. He said that the reason that He said He names them, to name them, is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And they're for singing and making melody in our heart. And it's for giving us rich, is for helping the Word of God to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And it teaches and admonishes us in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it helps us to sing with grace in our hearts. And it makes us thankful. That type of music. Christian songs should teach and admonish us, not make us rebel and want to kill and burn down places and throw babies in garbage cans and drown people and whatever else goes along with it, and get as much dope as we can get and get out of our minds and our right thinking and just get as nutty as we possibly can. Yeah, that's the first thing, God's standard for music. God does give us a standard for music in the Scriptures, and I'm glad He did, aren't you? Now, we're not talking about the world and what the world thinks. We're talking about why Christians do not listen to rock and roll. Another reason Christians don't listen to rock and roll is because music profoundly affects us. It profoundly affects us. Music is not just a happenstance thing that passes by. And when you listen to it, oh, well, and go to the next thing. Music teaches and preaches and designs your thinking. Think of how a stirring march picks us up, how soft organ music makes many people feel religious, you know. How a love ballad can make you melancholy. Music can give a man courage in battle and reduce him to tears. We can see the importance of music. And for the Christian, the importance of the right kinds of music. Very important in your life, brothers and sisters. Very important. I don't know what's on your music shelf over there, and it's not my business. But the Lord knows, and the Lord knows the reasons in your heart why you have it. Well, I just like this. That's fine. Whatever. But how's it affect your thinking, and what's it teaching you? And is it fleshy? And does it draw away from your spirituality? Does it make you want to read your Bible? Does it make you want to pray? Does it give you grace? Does it make you thankful? I mean, we're here to find the truth, right? And tell the truth and be sincere with the Lord and just find out what the Bible says. God gives us music. God loves music. But the right kinds of music. And, well, let's just break it down. Music has three parts. Anything that's real in creation has three parts. God is a Trinity, and everything that is has three parts. You have three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Music has three parts: melody, harmony, and rhythm. Man has three parts: spirit, soul, and body, or your flesh. Melody affects what? The Lord said, singing and making melody in your hearts. So what does melody affect? The spirit. What does harmony affect? It affects the soul. Your thinking. You. Person back behind your eyes. And what does rhythm affect? Well, everybody answered that right away, didn't you? The body. The flesh. Even when you're riding down the road and you hear one of them thumping cars coming by that vibrates through the asphalt and shakes your car around on the road. And that thumpity, thumpity, thump, 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 and boom, 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 and all that stuff going on. What's that do? It's like a magnet that pulls your flesh, isn't it? It makes your flesh want to do something. Whether you do it or not, you have to battle with it, don't you? The flesh jumps right up without your permission. The difference between godly music and rock and roll is that godly music emphasizes the melody in a song. Well, we read on Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Not rhythm, melody in your heart. Rock and roll is, the difference in it is that godly music emphasizes the melody and controls the harmony and the rhythm. Whereas rock and roll is heavy on the beat, the rhythm, with little attention to the melody. In doing so, rock and roll arouses the flesh, and that's what it's designed to do. You listen to some of these singers, worldly singers, and some of these groups, they'll tell you straight from their mouths why they produce the music that they produce. And they'll tell you that it's not Christ-like music, and they never intended it to be Christ-like music. It says, speaking to yourselves in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to what Erwin Sibler, he's a Marxist writer, says. The great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. It is a music which is basically sexual, un-Puritan, and a threat to established patterns and values. Oh, yeah, the Marxists and the communists and all them, socialists and all them, they love that music. Because it makes people rebel against what's pure and what's right. And it brings out the flesh and the sexual un-Puritan parts and makes people turn against patterns and values and things like that. He said that right there. He wasn't ashamed of that. He said that right there. That's what it's for. Another reason that Christians don't listen to rock and roll music is not only because it's because God has standards for music and rock and roll is not one of them. Music profoundly affects us, but why rock and roll music is harmful? One reason that Christians should not listen to rock and roll music and why they don't listen to rock and roll music is why rock and roll music is harmful. That's the reason you don't listen to it. You say, well, why is rock and roll music harmful? Well, let's go over some of them things. First of all, because of its power. Rock and roll music is not innocent. The kind of music that appeals to your flesh is not innocent. It's not just something you listen to and it has no meaning and it has no purpose and it has no effect on you. It has power. It emphasizes on the beat, and the kind of beat, the throbbing and pulsating beat, appeals to the flesh and the body. And in conjunction with everything else about rock and roll, it arouses impure thoughts and behavior. Right? In addition, putting Christian words to a rock beat, as do so-called Christian rock and roll bands and Christian this and Christian rock, and much of the contemporary music that's going on also, is no different. The music hasn't changed. And putting Christian words to a beat that appeals to the flesh is vanity. Don't mean diddly squat. It appeals to the flesh. Spiritual music affects the spirit, not the flesh. If it's Christian music, it will appeal to what Christians love, not what the flesh loves. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins." Why? Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." God loves purity. The second thing, or no, the fourth thing that the Lord says that we're to think about, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Because of the power of rock and roll music. Rock and roll music is powerful. The tempo of the voodoo drums, this is what a Dr. Walter Wright quoted. He said, "The tempo of the voodoo drums has been known to make a listener powerless to resist the music's pounding beat. At rock concerts, when the tempo of the music hits a certain pitch, it brings a psychological response which the audience is powerless to resist." That's true. You ever been to a concert? A rock and roll concert? Read up on some of that stuff that happened at Woodstock. That was a massacre. That was like a stinking atomic bomb went off there. Of a bunch of stinking, wicked, nasty, ungodly, perverted murders and all kinds of stuff that went on there. And it was because of the music. Grand Funk Railroad, you remember them? Donnie Brewer, that was a member of that. He said, "We take kids away from their parents and their environment to where the only reality is the rhythm and the beat." That's what the man that plays in Grand Funk Railroad says that they do, and they do on purpose, is to take children away from their parents, and they do it in an environment where the only reality is rhythm and the beat. So there is such thing as music that you can be in the environment of that'll completely take away the purity that you've been taught. The power of music. Why rock and roll music is harmful? The power of it. You don't know? Man, I hear people that hear one or two, like on the radio, when something comes on, you hear one or two where the song starts out. As soon as that song starts, it's only made one or two pieces of music, and somebody starts jumping up and down because they already know what the song is, and they're reacting to it even though it hadn't even begun yet. Let me ask you something. Listen to this. Tell me what the first thing you think about. Now, if you know this, you'll know it, and it'll watch how the flesh works. Watch this. Now, I'm going to make two sounds of something. I'm going to make two sounds of something, and you tell me what song it's involved in, or what song comes to mind. Ready? Bong, bong. Did you get it? What's the name of that song? You see how that flesh is? By the way, that's Hell's Bells by AC/DC. When I was running that Trouble Men's Camp up there and teaching those men, the Lord had, and they were sitting up under the Word of God, I could be sitting there any day, and I told them, I said, I can make you think and go into your mind and bring up a song without you being able to control it. No, you can't, Brother TV. Yes, I can. And I've done exactly what I just done to you. And every one of them standing there with their jaw hanging down, because every one of them knew exactly. And all I done was went boom, boom. And so did you, if you knew what it was. It's powerful. What's another reason why rock and roll music's harmful? Well, because of the drugs and the sex. Don't you know? Any of y'all that the Lord saved out of that trash and delivered out of that trash, out of the jungle? Don't you know? The drugs and the sex. Listen to what Circus Magazine said. No matter what anyone tells you, drugs will always be part of the rock scene. They're not ashamed of it. Remember the Eagles? Hotel California? Glenn Frey? He said, I'm in the music business for the sex and narcotics. John Lennon, a former Beatle, he said, the group indulged in sex orgies on tours and made heavy use of drugs. That was from the release of San Francisco, from the UPI release from San Francisco before John Lennon's death. That's what John Lennon said. Why is rock and roll music deadly and dangerous? Because of its power and because of what goes along with it, drugs and sex. Listen to what Janis Joplin said. You know how she died? She overdosed. She was trying to get off of that mess she was. And then when they left her alone, she called and had her dope man come by, and she killed herself on dope, an overdose. But here's what she said. I want to smoke dope, lick dope, anything I could get my hands on, I wanted to do. All my life, I just wanted to be a beatnik, meeting all the heavies, getting stoned, getting laid, having a good time. Janis Joplin. And that's what she said to Time magazine. Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Sorry, Janet. That's not what was supposed to go in your body or what you're supposed to use your body for. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me. Talking to Christians. This is Paul talking about his liberty in Christ. He says, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All your sins are forgiven. Jesus has taken all them things away from you and nailed them to the cross and took them to hell. Your sins are taken away if you're born again. You don't have to worry about any of that ever again. It's done. You're on your way to heaven. And you're not under the law. You don't have to eat certain crackers, and you don't have to do this. You don't have to ride a donkey around a building backwards three times. You don't have to impress God. Jesus impressed him. And we're thankful for that. And we're in the family of God because of that. And the Lord says, now, your body, let's talk about it. Why Christians don't listen to rock and roll music? That's part of your body, your ears, and what you listen to. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Was Janet's idea of the body acceptable to God? I want to smoke dope, lick dope, anything I can get my hands on I want to do. All my life I just want to be a beatnik, meeting all the heavies, getting stoned, getting laid, and having a good time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Janet, John Lennon, Glenn Frey. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, just like we're talking about that dancing, these are opposites. You either want to do it God's way or you want to do it the world's way. And the Lord said, be not conformed to this world. Janet says, that's all I want to do is be conformed to the world. Glenn Frey said he was in the music business for sex and narcotics. What else? Why rock and roll music is harmful? Because of its power. Because of the drugs and the sex. And not only that, because of rebellion and violence. Yeah. Listen to this. Alice Cooper said, rebellion is the basis for our group. Some kids who listen to us are really deranged. But they look at us as heroes because their parents hate us. Did you hear that? This guy, Alice Cooper, on purpose, said the basis of his group is to teach rebellion. And he said the kids that listen to his music are deranged, not encouraged, not made more godly, deranged. But they look at the group as a god, as heroes, because their parents hate them. And the kids are glad that their parents hate their gods. Jefferson Starship says, we are the forces of anarchy and confusion. Rolling Stone magazine, a reporter of the Rolling Stone magazine, Rolling Stone's concert with the Hell's Angels as bodyguards, said the violence was beyond comprehension. That was what I was telling you about Woodstock. When the Rolling Stones were there, they couldn't even play their music. Mick Jagger was up there, and he was begging the crowd to settle down and everything else, and he was sitting there playing music that just made everybody go nuts, go crazy. And the Hell's Angels, matter of fact, there was people murdered trying to get up on stage and stuff like that. Hell's Angels was up there beating the brains out of everybody guarding the stage. Rolling Stones reporter said the violence there was beyond comprehension. Why rock and roll music is harmful? Because it's powerful. Because of the drugs and sex. Because of the rebellion and violence it teaches. And just because you tack on the word Christian, the music's the same, and it does the same to the flesh, and it gives the same messages and gives the same results, rebellion and violence. You go to a rock, so-called Christian rock concert, and you see the same thing in the crowd, the people going nuts and giving devil signs with their hands and all these wicked devilish signals and signs and jumping over one another and going nuts and crying and writing, tattooing things all over themselves. The violence was beyond comprehension. You can say anything's Christian. The Catholics say they're Christian. Listen to this. This is Peter Townsend, an excerpt from Peter Townsend's notes that he wrote. He said, "Damage, damage, damage. It's a great way to shake society's value system. It makes mothers disown their children. It makes schools teach. It makes school teachers puke." He's talking about his music. Damage, damage, damage. It's a great way to shake society's value system. It makes mothers disown their children. Is that going on? And it makes school teachers puke. Wow, that's a big thing in the news nowadays, is school teachers fighting. School teachers and all the parents, because the school teachers are trying to indoctrinate your children. And that's going on right this second. But the music does it. Why is it dangerous? Because of the rebellion and violence. When in history have you ever heard that a five-year-old could go tell on his mommy and daddy and have them arrested? Where'd that come from? Proverbs chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 11, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." That's what these guys here are saying in these bands. Damage, damage, damage. Rebellion, confusion. Violence was beyond comprehension. Rebellion is the basis for our group. The Bible says, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion." So what's that tell you about these bands? That they teach rebellion and violence. And if you know, you, Christian, if you've had anything to do with rock and roll music, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God, the Lord had to save you from that, and he has to save your mind from it constantly. That's how powerful it is. That's how the drugs and sex were involved in it. That's how the rebellion and violence is involved in it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." That's what you're doing right now, is getting instruction from the Word of God. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they can cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." The Bible knows this stuff, doesn't it? It sure does. What's another reason that rock and roll is harmful? Not only because of the power of it, not only because of the drugs and the sex and the rebellion and violence, but because of the blasphemy. Rock and roll groups are not ashamed to blaspheme God. They hate God. Don't you know that? And the music they produce is God-defying. Listen to what the lyrics amazingly, John Lennon's song entitled God. He said, "The dream is over. God is merely a concept by which we measure our pain." What do you say now, John? Where you at, John? Is God a concept, John? Listen to what Queen said. Lyrics in one of Queen's songs. "All going down to see the Lord Jesus." I wonder what he meant by that. How about it, Queen? Are you with Jesus? Is he down there? The blasphemy that's in it. In the beginning, listen to this. This is Aqualung, Jethro Tull. Remember him? This is a statement on one of his album covers. It says, "In the beginning, man created God. In the image of man created he him. And man gave unto him a multitude of names, that he might be Lord over all the earth when it was suited to man." Hey, Jethro. You still the boss, Jethro? You telling God what to do, Jethro? How about it, Jethro? Come on, don't be ashamed. Tell us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off all the old man with his deeds." Brothers and sisters, that's what we're doing, is putting off these things. And rock and roll music has all these things attached to it, doesn't it? If you know anything, Christian, about rock and roll and you've been involved in it and the Lord has delivered you from it, you should keep all these things on the front burner that you know about, that God the Holy Ghost has delivered you from. And don't go around it, avoid it, pass away from it, pass away, turn from it, avoid it. Don't even listen to it and despise it. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20 through 23 in the New Testament, the Bible says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." And this music that these people are preaching and teaching, they unashamedly tell you that they're blaspheming God right in front of you for you to listen to. And for you to worship, rebellion and violence, drugs and sex, and the power of it. Talking about being controlled. Listen to what George Harrison said. Well, let's see here. There's another one. Not only blasphemy and sex and drugs and rebellion and violence, but why is rock and roll music dangerous for the Christian? Is the communism, the false religions, and the occult. That's all over that music, isn't it? Some of y'all know exactly. You said, yeah. Listen to what a group of young radicals, these people, when they found out that the Rolling Stones were coming over, a group of young radicals' welcome statement. They wrote a welcome statement in part to the Rolling Stones upon coming to the West Coast. This is from Ralph J. Gleason that wrote this down and recorded it. Here's their message. "The revolutionary youth of the world hears your music and is inspired to even more deadly acts. We will play your music as we tattoo 'Burn, Baby, Burn' on our bellies of wardens, on the bellies of wardens and generals, and create a new society from the ashes of our fires. You will play your splendid music under the hanging corpses of priests, under the million red flags waving over a million anarchist communities. Long live the revolution." That was so young people writing that down. Sound like a pretty stout message, wasn't it? The revolutionary youth of the world hears your music and is inspired to even more deadly acts. There's what your children are saying. Communism and false religions and the occult appeals to them through their music. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10 through 15 says, "When wisdom entereth into the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." Well, that was pretty froward what they said, wasn't it? "Who leaveth the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths." How about that? You say, why rock and roll music is harmful? Well, because it's powerful. Because of the drugs and the sex. Because of the blasphemy. Because of the rebellion and violence. Because of the communism and the false religion and the occult. Listen to what the Beatles, George Harrison of the Beatles said. He said, this much more validity of Hinduism than anything in there's much more validity in Hinduism than anything in Christianity. I kicked the concept of a man in the sky a long time ago. Jesus was a divine incarnation like Buddha and Krishna. I believe in rebirth. You keep coming back until you have got it straight. The ultimate thing is to manifest divinity and become one with the Creator. How about it, George? Are you one with the Creator? What'd you come back as, George? You still kicking the concept of the man in the sky? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And he still means that. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23 say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." John chapter 14 verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You reckon George is with the Father? Just a question. Listen to what David Bowie in the Rolling Stones magazine said when it comes to this communism, false religions and stuff. "Rock and roll has always been the devil's music. It could well bring about a very evil feeling in the West. And it is, and it did, and it's still." That's what David Bowie said. He's the one who produces that garbage and sings it and preaches it. Listen to what Meatloaf, Jim Steinman in the band Meatloaf, he said, "I've always been fascinated by the supernatural and always felt rock was the perfect idiom for it. When I go on stage, I get possessed." We're talking about communism and false religions and the occult. That's all in that stuff. You know that. Is that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Why it's dangerous. I've always been, listen to what Mick Jagger said. Newsweek magazine titled Mick Jagger, you know what they call him? the Lucifer of rock, the unholy roller. John chapter 8, verse 43. Let's read that. John chapter 8, verse 43 through 49. It says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." As your lovey-dovey, well-spoken Lord Jesus Christ, he said he is a liar and the father of it. "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." You hear the way they talk to the Son of God? You say, why is rock and roll harmful? Why Christians don't listen to rock and roll? Well, because of the backmasking and subliminal messages. That used to be a thing that floated around and people thought was just one of those sayings that went around to scare people that it wasn't so and everything else. But it is so. And it's done purposely, orderly, and on purpose to get messages out without the permission of anybody that listens to these songs. There's backmasking on a Styx song called Snowblind. Remember that song? It says, "O Satan, move in our voices." It's backmasking and subliminal messages is something that your mind listens to that you can't hear audibly. Your mind hears it. And here's what it says. Without you audibly hearing it and it being right in front of you in your Black Oak, Arkansas, there's a subliminal message backmasking on Black Oak, Arkansas song "When Electricity Came to Arkansas." It says, "Satan, Satan, Satan, he is God, he is God." Check it out yourself. On Queen, backmasked the song, "Another One Bites the Dust." Remember that song? It's backmasked. It says, "I've decided to smoke marijuana, and it's fun to smoke marijuana." Yeah. They're doing this stuff to your children on purpose, and they're doing it to us on purpose. And Satan has a reason, and these are Satan's children. They're children of darkness. And this music that they're putting out, this rock and roll music that's being put out, is from children of darkness, and it's dark music. And they're not ashamed to say so. And Christian, if you've ever been involved in any of this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know that it took God's power, that it took the power of God to get you out of it and away from it. Because you had no control over it. You couldn't control it. It controlled you. And finally, just one more thing here. And this will just about wind up our study on this X-rated for Christian. Is nihilism. Nihilism. We say, what's nihilism? Well, it's a belief that there's no meaning or purpose in existence. That's all over the place, especially with the you. Well, there's no meaning. There's no meaning to life. You know who the youngest girl that committed suicide was? A little young girl, and all due respect, if their mom and dad happen to hear this, it's very sad, and I know their mom and dad, their hearts were broken to pieces because of it, but a little 5-year-old girl named Samantha, Her mama was told her to go to her room, and she went in her room and got up on the top bunk bed, tied a belt around her neck, and hung herself off the top, committed suicide. They even classified it as a suicide. A 5-year-old. Now, where did she get any kind of thinking about suicide or even the idea or even a definition of what suicide is? Nihilism, the belief that there's no meaning or purpose in existence, the general rejection in customary beliefs in morality, religion, suicide. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, there's some lyrics from the song titled No Values by Black Flag. It says, I don't care what you say. There's nothing that means anything. That's the lyrics of their song, No Values. I don't care what you say. There's nothing that means anything. Nihilism. So, what does the Bible say? John chapter 8, verse 43, we read that. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Brothers and sisters, you better listen to this, because if you don't think that music will draw you right back in, you're nuts. You know it will. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Is rock and roll music deceitful? You better believe it is. Why rock and roll music is harmful? Because of its power, because of the drugs and sex, because of the rebellion and violence. You know, we can thank God, can't we? Because of the blasphemy, because of the communism and the false religions and the occult, because of the backmasking and all the deceitful things that go on that you know nothing about, and because of what the message that it teaches, that there's no meaning or purpose in existence. There's no such thing as a meaning or a purpose. It don't matter if I kill myself. Don't matter. It don't matter. Nothing matters. You ever been in that kind of frame of mind? How'd you get there? The Lord saved us, didn't He? He rescued us, didn't He? And if you know what I'm talking about, you can give thanks along with me. I thank the Lord every day, specifically, and so should you. All them specifics that He saved you from the needle, from the booze, from the beer can, from the bottle, from the sex, from the wickedness, from the dope, from the powers, from the nihilism, from the this, from the that, thank God specifically for it and continue to thank Him. Because He did rescue you. And the Bible says for us to take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And God wouldn't tell us to take heed and watch out and watch our hearts if it wasn't possible for us to depart from Him. I've departed from Him. I sure have. I've done some of the worst things that are imaginable as far as being, like, worldly, being a Christian, being born again, one of God's youngins. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Listen to this. This is a note that a young boy wrote. And it's a suicide letter written by a fellow named Robert to his family. Listen, it says, "I, Robert, am about to end all misery caused by myself." Where'd that boy get in mind that he was causing so much misery? "I, Robert, am about," he was 18 years old. "I, Robert, am about to end all misery caused by myself. It's been a short and tragic life," 18 years old. "For me, it's been a short and tragic life for me and others close by me. I've been a blank up from day one. Recently, I've been in a lot of trouble, drug related, causing great stress to me and my family. I've fallen into depression lately and cannot handle it any longer. Oh, yeah, tell Sergeant such and such that I would rather be dead than be a narc. I hope God has mercy on my soul." And he killed himself. Here's a 16-year-old named Dexter Gardner, written to his parents before shooting himself. He said, "I've thought about it many times, and there's just nothing worth living for." 16 years on this earth, and everything that he's seen, everything he heard, everything he smelled, everything he ate, everything that he looked around him and couldn't find a reason to live. He said out of his own mouth before he shot himself, "I've thought about it many times, and there's just nothing worth living for." Listen, America, when you kick God out, that's the kind of people, that's the reaction and how the people are and become. When you say, "You're not welcome here anymore, Lord," the Lord's the one that's keeping all the peace and keeping all the sense about everything. It ain't that God is doing anything to America. America kicked him out, and the Lord's feelings were hurt, and he took his hands off of America that was keeping America safe. And now the people are going nuts, because the Lord has left them to their own devices. "I've thought about it many times, and there's just nothing worth living for. Sometimes it seems that life is just too long to wait." It's the words of a recording made by a 16-year-old Dexter Gardner to his parents before he shot himself. And finally, we'll wind this up with this. Tampa Tribune by Mick Jagger. Listen to what he says. "There's no such thing as a secure, family-oriented rock and roll song." We'll end with this. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the truth, brothers and sisters, and you can testify to that if the Lord has saved you and gave you opportunity to repent and to come to Him. If there's anything in your life, now this is X-rated for Christians, why they don't drink, why they don't dance, why they don't smoke, why they don't listen to rock and roll music. Do you know why? Because Dexter Gardner says, "I've thought about it many times. There's just nothing worth living for." Oh, yes, there is, Dexter. It's just very sad that somebody didn't bring the Lord to you before you got preached to by these idiots to tell you that nothing is worth nothing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that'll conclude our study of X-rated for Christians. And there's a lot of other topics we could have gone into, but I think the lesson has made the sense, don't you? God's word has made the sense. God does not say thou shalt not listen to rock and roll music. He doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. He doesn't say thou shalt not drink. He doesn't say thou shalt not dance. He didn't say it. X-rated for Christians. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening, and thank you for participating in this letter X, X-rated for Christians, and thank you for honoring the Lord and for forbearing this long lesson on the last one here. We should just go ahead and finish it out. Next, we'll be going into, unless there's another X lesson, like I told you before, could be inserted. But if not, then we'll go into Y, the letter Y, for yearning, which is going to talk about what the Scriptures have to say about affections, which is very important in our walk with the Lord, affections. And I'd like to thank you again for listening in and studying. And this has not been all good news, but it is wonderful news because we're studying God's Word. And we come to these studies to find out what God's mind is so we don't fall into this kind of garbage again. And God bless you for giving the Lord the praise for what He's done for you, and continue to do that. And stay, whether it be here or, but stay in God's Word. The Word that makes us clean. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next lesson, and we'll visit on the next lesson. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.